Here and There is a podcast giving a voice to musicians from around the world. How their culture and personal story influence their music. How they see their world and express themselves through music. Are you a musician? Or maybe you are curious about the creative process of your favorite artist. This is made for you. We aim to break the boundaries of music. We intend to open ears. We desire to inspire. Here and There, a podcast by Marilou. Known as the Street Foxes, Ceci and Liam come from different parts of the world, Spain and Australia, respectively. Despite the distance between their home countries, music brought them together. Their paths crossed in Guatemala, where they made the bold decision to leave their former lives behind and pursue their passion for music and travel together. Now based in Valencia, Spain, they combine Ceci's groovy saxophone riff with Liam's soulful vocals and guitar to create unique harmonies that showcase their deep connection. Here is their story.
Well, I like your baggy shorts and they guess you don't match. You check your engine on top, top it all off with a fanny pack, yeah. So girl, I think you're cool, I think you're beautiful. And when you laugh, you got the whole bar looking at you from the other side of the room. Girl, can't you see you do something to me? And a little something, something's just what I need, yeah. I just wanna put my hand on your sugar. Oh yeah, baby, I'm a rock with a wandering eye. So you bet I watched as you walked on by. Feels like I'm in shock, and I don't know why. But you got me feeling all kinds of high, yeah, come on.
Me and Liam met in Guatemala in 2018, and actually one of the first interactions had to do with music. I used to live in this hostel in Guatemala, and he was friends with the owner. We were all friends, and I had a guitar there, and we were having having dinner, and I was like, oh, I'll take my guitar down and we can play some music or whatever. And then Liam also, I was like, oh, you also play guitar, yeah, blah, blah. Because I'm not a guitarist, but I play a little bit of guitar. And one of the first songs we played, it was this Spanish song called...
Quiero un camino.
Yeah, Quiero un camino.
Mm-hmm. Which I had never heard, but Ceci was playing it. And then afterwards, I went home and I spent like 3 days like learning the lyrics, even though my Spanish was like pretty horrible because I wanted to impress her and be like, look, I can sing along and harmonize with you now.
Yeah, so I guess we could say that was the beginning of a lot of really cool things that came after. After that, we started, you know, hanging out together, and music was a big common interest that we both have. And later on I joined his band.
Yeah, I was playing in like a little band when we were there in Guatemala with my sister and our friend. And it was kind of like a folksy, rootsy kind of band. And then once Ceci got a saxophone when we were there, we were like, oh, come join. And we started putting her in more and more songs. And yeah, we were in that band for a little while and we were playing just little gigs around in the town that we were living. And then the other two band members decided to like go back to their respective homes, but we were still keen to like keep traveling. So then we started traveling through like Central America, through Mexico, Honduras, Colombia.
Yeah.
And we thought while we were traveling, it'd be great to like make a bit of money, by playing music. So, yeah, that's when we started. That's when we started the Street Foxes while we were living in Mexico.
Yeah, We started like playing in the streets of San Cristóbal de las Casas. It's really nice little village in Chiapas. And yeah, that's where our name comes from, actually.
Yeah, that's like the street
part, because yeah. Our origins are in the streets.
Yeah.
You got a pretty face and a good music taste. That's why I've been learning your favorite song in Espanol for the past 5 days. Now when I smile at you, you smile back at me too. I think something good could come out of this if we kiss on the old moon. Girl, don't you know that you're my one and only? And you're the only one who sees.
shop, and I don't know why. But you got me feeling all kinds of high. Yeah, come on.
Take a lot of influence from like soul, pop soul, kind of like this modern soul era that we're going through now. Also kind of like swing music, jazz, funk, blues, all of that stuff. Listen to it a lot. And then, yeah, kind of what comes out is what comes out. We usually describe it as kind of like pop soul because that's generally where like the area that we stay in. But I don't know, every new song, that our music is always evolving, so...
Yeah, it's always kind of changing and, like, yeah, like, evolving to, like, to different kind of different styles. What we used to write, like, a year ago, sometimes is so different from what we write
writing now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I agree. Like, pop soul would probably describe us.
If we have to put a label on it.
Yeah.
So you used to listen to a lot of jazz growing up, no?
Yeah. My dad is crazy about jazz, and like from like my earliest memories is like always like in the car and at in the house, like always jazz playing. So I guess that's always been like a big influence for me, and yeah, and like also because of him, I started playing sax. His favorite instrument is saxophone, so I didn't really have any other choice. and I really loved it when I started when I was 8. And then I think I picked up a guitar when I was like maybe 17 or 18 or something. And I like I always like to sing. I'm not a very good guitarist. I just play like basic stuff, but. It was always a cool thing to have, and like when I started traveling, I always had a guitar with me, and always loved to sing and stuff. And then, yeah, when I met Liam, I was like, okay, you can have the guitar, and we can both do the singing, and I'll bring my sax. And then it was like, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And we started off because I used to listen to lots and lots of folk music, and when I started playing guitar, that was like strictly the genre that I played. I mean, to start at the real beginning, I was a cellist my whole school life, and I started playing guitar just as like a little hobby on the side because I kind of liked to sing, and it was a way to play more like pop music than classical music. And then it wasn't really until I was living in Guatemala that I started to be like, okay, I actually like to play this instrument. I want to put in some serious time into improving my skills and not just kind of coast along that I was doing. And then when we started playing together and we started playing with the saxophone, I think that just led us into that kind of style of music. And I started to learn more and more about those genres on guitar. And yeah, I think that's where our music tastes like come together. And we're always kind of listening to the same stuff, enjoying the same stuff. So yeah, more and more we're playing that kind of that style.
With wandering eyes, you better watch as you walk on by. Feels like I'm in shock, and I don't know why. But you got me feeling all kinds of vibe, baby. I'm in love, took me by surprise. But you know you caught me behind those eyes, and now I'm at the crunch, and it's do or die. But I've never felt so goddamn.
When we started writing music, you know, we were quite shy and nervous to bring ideas. We hadn't been together for so long, and you know, sharing creative ideas is always scary and kind of a vulnerable thing to do because it's kind of like this is something that I came up with. It's my own thing, and you know, that person can say, you know, that sucks. Obviously, we don't do that, but you kind of are worried about that judgment. But yeah, now that we've done it so much, and we just play together so often and perform together so often that I don't know, we have like some kind of connection with those things that we can we can write kind of like quickly, share ideas. We feel free, at least I feel free
to
say whatever idea comes to my head, which is a really good thing because you can't really create if you feel like blocked in. You need to feel free to, you know, put out an idea and be like, that was terrible and I don't like it. Because the more ideas that you can like share and work together, you know, the better stuff that you're going to eventually come up with. And yeah, as well as that, like often like I'll come up with a little idea and I'm like, it's not quite right. And Cece will be like, just like tweak it a little bit or a lot. And then it's like, right now that's what I was hearing in my head, but I didn't know what to do. You know, sometimes I feel like you can be like looking too close at the painting and you need to like take a step back, and having another person there can kind of be that person for you, I think.
Yeah. I think I was thinking before how we write music, how we sometimes like, even without words, we kind of know where we're going because we spend so much time together, but also we listen to the same music, we like the same stuff, and like it's almost like we hear maybe kind of the same stuff in a different way, because we all have our own inputs as a, you know, as a individual people, but. Yeah, like sometimes I would maybe play or sing a melody and like go to a weird place with the melody, for example. Like, what chord could be here? I can't hear the chord, but like Liam knows so well that where to go, and that's like, yes, and now it fits the melody that I had in my head perfectly. And and we do that like now quicker and quicker, and like and
we know kind of what each other likes or want to hear, and so like, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, it's really satisfying when it happens, when it clicks, and it's like, yes, this is what I had in my head, and now it's out here.
And if we both love it, then it's like a good sign that it's going to be something good, you know, that's going to work.
Yeah, I could never do this without him, as in like his understanding of harmony and how to like write chord progressions that make sense and come back. Like, that's something that I lack in my music education a bit, because of the nature of the instrument that I play is just one, it's like a mono note instrument. Sax doesn't, you can't play chords.
Yeah, the way that we work together and how we gel together so well, how well we know each other, the amount of experience we've had playing together, I think that's really like a key element to our music. And she's really good at coming up with very interesting harmonies. I think maybe because I grew up listening to so much folk music, the harmonies I come up with are much more like consonant, like the opposite of dissonant, which can be really good in lots of places, but when you want to have something a bit more interesting and a bit more like catching your ear, then I think Cece comes up with these really, really cool vocal harmonies that make our music sound really good. I think she's a phenomenal singer and sax player. She's a super good improviser, like, which is something that I always struggle with. So I always look up to someone who can do that. But I think even better than all of that, the top thing, I think, is like, she's such a, I don't know, she's like magnetic to watch perform. If you're watching her on stage, like, she just like attracts your eye and is so, I don't know, brings so much joy to watch her performing and seeing her so happy and just like in her element.
For me, music, there's a feeling of like almost like euphoria when you like playing something and you're like really enjoying it. Kind of like a, I don't know, it's almost like a, I don't know if this is kind of opposite to what I just said, but also a kind of meditation. So there's like a intrinsic feeling of like, like there's something right in what I'm doing, and also like that feeling of joy of like being able to produce sounds that for whatever reason we evolved to, yeah, like those sounds sometimes they make you feel emotions, which is crazy. Why would we be designed like that as humans? But and then so yeah, there's that quality of music that brings you joy for you, and also like when shared, I think that's when music makes the most sense. Like that is why we have music, because or like that is a big part of the reason why I play music, is to share it with other people and to bring that the joy that it gives me to others.
See the sun is shining, so quit your whining. You respect the world on a silver platter. Heavy heads with black thoughts and waves of white noise. But I guess it's all just a matter.
I've always felt like I don't know, like a very strong curiosity of like, I always feel attracted to people that were like different to me, like different cultures, and like I always wanted to know more and felt very curious about how the outside of Spain and like Europe maybe was. And also my parents were like also avid travelers, like since they were young. And always hearing those stories about Cuba and Morocco and like blah blah, and like I want to do that. So yeah, I think that was something that I always knew I was gonna do at some point. It's kind of hard to break from the routine of like, or like the, I don't know, kind of the path that you are supposed to take. Like study a career, get a good job, work for 40 years and then retire. Yeah, once you break that, it's just like, it was actually very easy to keep traveling, meeting people. Then music became my way of living and making a living. And yeah, everything
goes really well with traveling, like yeah, playing music really, and traveling at the
really
same time.
Really well, yeah.
And like traveling with instruments, it is complicated, and especially if you want to perform, you need to have like a guitar that you can like plug in, and maybe you need like microphones, and like it starts getting difficult. You can't really travel with like an amp and stuff, for example.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
So you have to rely on the venue having like some gear and stuff, and a saxophone is obviously a little even more complicated than a guitar.
Yeah,
saxophones are very finicky, like they have lots of little bits, and if something gets bumped then the whole instrument stops working, so you've got to be very, very careful.
Yeah,
traveling with those instruments. So we're always like, I don't know, tried to have them on us if we were traveling on a bus or something, because you know, people just throw bags and throw things, so you gotta always, or if you're in a hostel, like have it with you in bed and stuff, because it's like also the most valuable thing that you kind of own, like your passport and your instrument.
Passport and instruments, always like even sleeping like in hostels and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's like a dorm, like I would like sleep with my sax. Like I cannot afford to lose these, because yeah, it's our most valuable asset. And then with equipment as well, because yeah, that also gets a bit tricky sometimes, because yeah, you need microphones and an amp and a microphone stand and stuff.
Yeah.
But like I remember like at the very beginning when we didn't have gear, we would like tape a broom.
Like a broom or a mop.
Or a mop or something to a chair. And then from there, like we would somehow with like sticky tape.
Yeah, tape the microphone.
Around the microphones and stuff, just to like make some improvised mic stands. And yeah, things like
very,
that.
Very basic back then.
Very, very basic. And when we're roast into glasses, I can see how green your heart is. You better be careful, boy, that sure will take a toll. And there's 100 different colors, why don't you use one of the others? Cause you could paint with pink and gold, but you blew my mind. But up, up, but up, but up. We started playing in the streets of Mexico a little bit at the beginning because we were like, kind of wanted to see if how like our music was gonna be received. Maybe out of insecurity, I don't know, or like, because at the beginning it's like, is this something that people would actually wanna come and pay a ticket to come and see us? It went really well. I think, we played in Mexico like every day for a few months. Yeah. Every time was great. Like rain or cold or hot, we would, go out, we figure out the best times in the day, and it was great. We actually managed to even save some money just doing music, which is amazing. Yeah. During that time. And after that we always continue to do it in every country we've been to. We've always going out and playing in the streets because we really love that that energy that you create with strangers, like suddenly like you connect with someone that like you they're just passing by and you exchange some smiles, but like that's enough to make my day. Like honestly, like sometimes it's like, woof, I don't know if I feel like going out today. And then I play for an hour or two and I just come back home happier.
Yeah.
From having those, interactions that otherwise you wouldn't have had, and like those connections with people and sharing, I mean, and also playing music, which is super fun. But honestly, mainly is what we share with people. It's also a great tool for us to like, as I said before, like maybe if we have a new song, like we like maybe play it and see if people like it, and if like how many people are turning their heads and like what works best, we go with a lot of that from the feedback that we receive from in the streets. Then we go on and build our sets for all the events, weddings and stuff. Like we know this works. We know people always like this song and dance and sing with us. So like,
Just to add to that, I think as well, it was what's really difficult when you're starting out as a musician is getting experience performing.
Yeah.
Maybe you can play at an open mic, but you only get 5 or 10 minutes to play maybe once a week. But with busking, you have an audience, like maybe they're walking by, but you have an experience where you're being seen by people. So I mean, I really think that every musician should do it, just because for us, we've got, I don't know how many hours of playing on the streets, which is like, and you feel a little bit more free because there's not necessarily people, definitely not people who have paid to see you there, but you can kind of experiment with things a little more. You can, try, and you feel a bit more free to like to maybe dance or like move with your body to like catch people's attention. Which brings me to the other point, which is like it forces you to be very eye-catching. You have to be like, you've only got a couple of seconds as people are walking by to catch their attention. So for us, it got us to pick like this is the one that grabs people's attention. We're going to be dancing around, we're going to be smiling, we're going to be, moving and singing. And that kind of vibe, I think, is a big part of our show.
Yeah.
Still to this day, when we're playing like on stages or something, it's like, how can we put on a performance, not just like, is the music good, but how, because, when it's live music, it's not just an auditory experience. It's also a visual experience. So you need to be providing that with people, to people. And I think, I mean, for us as well, for lots of musicians, we're like a little bit more introverted. Oh, there's also very extroverted musicians, but a lot of us, you know, we aren't natural showmen or performers or stuff. So it's a skill that you need to develop.
Yeah, for sure.
And the only way you can, you can't practice, I mean, you can practice it in your room a little bit, but you need to get that experience playing in front of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think busking is really good for that. And that's why we keep on doing it. Just the last time that we went busking, we now have a license. We didn't have a license, because we heard like you never really get stopped, and we'd seen the cops a bunch of times, and they never said anything. But then we went out a couple of weeks ago. It was really, really hot, so we're like, oh, I don't really feel like going out. And you know, it's a lot of gear that you got to carry there. But we're like, no, it'll be worth it once we get there. So yeah, we got there, we're like sweating, we set all the equipment up, did a little sound check, and then I think we were halfway through the second song and the cops came and they were like, you got to pack up. So we now have a license, so it's all good. But you've always got to be wary. And whenever we travel to a new country, we try and look up the laws.
First, yeah.
Because some countries, like, you don't need a license. Some of them you can't get a license and they don't allow it at all. So yeah, you gotta look before you go.
No te voy a mentir, hay meses negros y otros que me los paso sin blanca.
Pero
todo pasa y cambia, y tu rojo de rabia, para bien o mal, para siempre no hay nada.
Hay días grises y otros rosas, gusanos y mariposas. Puedes contar noches o aprender del girasol. Y para gustos los colores, pero elegiste los peores, pintando con sombras de sol. And you blew my mind.
So our debut EP is called The Color of Wheat, or El Color del Trigo in Spanish. We wanted to have it, you know, in Spanish and English, because our music is kind of, we want it to be for both languages. So there's Spanish and English on the album. Some songs just in Spanish, some just in English, and some are like a split between, which was something that we really wanted to do, just because I know we speak, you know, in Spanish and English. We listen to lots of Spanish and English music, so we wanted that, you know, reflected on there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, it's, you know, six songs that we wrote over probably about 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Starting kind of when we started the Street Foxes in Mexico and traveling and stuff. And we came up with like quite a lot of the ideas during that time. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020, and we were basically isolated to like one room for a year. We did a lot of more like serious writing, because it's always, you know, it's always fun to start the songs when you're just like, oh, this idea is fun and we'll write the first verse and the chorus. But then writing the second verse and the third verse and finishing the song is, you know, it's just work. You've got to do it every day and commit to like finishing the songs. So yeah, then we did a lot of the writing during that period, which, yeah, as Cece said, is kind of like a funny distinction between a period of life that was like very joyous and fun and free, and then another one which was very uncertain, and, you know, we were locked in one area and kind of we wanted to travel but couldn't, which I like, because it means the songs are quite diverse, I think. Like, they can be some, a lot of them are like storytelling of when we're traveling, and a lot of them are, yeah, reflecting on ourselves and stuff.
I'm a stone in a river wild. I'm a dry leaf in the breeze. But you know I'm still half a child,
still crawling on my knees. In my mind there is an itching that my lazy hands can't reach. So I think it might be time I'm moving on.
So Moving On, which is the fourth track on The Color of Wheat, which is kind of like a soul-y ballad kind of song. It was actually the first song that we wrote, I think.
Yeah.
Well, not the first song that we wrote ever, but the first song that we wrote that appears on the album. And I think it was probably the first song that I wrote that at the end of it, I was like, I still like this. Before that, I had been writing songs and I would either abandon them or when I finished them, I was like, I no longer like this idea. But yeah, we wrote it just after we left Guatemala. So we'd been living there. I'd been there for about 2 years. Cece'd been there for about a year and a half. And then we just started this new journey where we were traveling. We started the Street Foxes. And for me, I was feeling like quite lost and unsure of what I was doing in life. Living in Guatemala had been great, but I was looking for more. I was looking to do more things and not just, you know, have a good time with my friends, which is also good. But I wanted to, you know, like do a little bit more work and stuff. So yeah, it was kind of like, although it was really exciting, the things that we were doing, I was also like, yeah, feeling very lost and unsure in myself. And kind of reflecting on behaviors or patterns of behaviors that I was unhappy with or had been unhappy with for a long time. And just thinking, you know, now enough is enough and I need to change these things. So yeah, I started writing it. I think like each verse kind of talks about a different one of those behaviors. A lot of it is about being present, I think, because I struggled a lot with that. And then because the verses are kind of like lyric dense, we wanted just to have a chorus that was like much more open and kind of more uplifting. And so, yeah, I spent some time writing it and Cece, unbeknownst to me, was listening to me writing it and practicing it in the next room. And as I was singing it, she was kind of like writing these harmonies, which are like a big part of the song. So then, yeah, one day she was like, oh, let's play that song together. And she had these like, yeah, these really great harmonies. And yeah, I think from then we just like, we clicked with the song. And then we kind of sat on it for a while because we were still learning a lot about music. And for me, it felt like a bigger song that needed, I don't know, a bit more thought in how we were going to record it. So I didn't think that we were going to record it when we did. But once we started playing with the bass player and the drummer that we recorded with, it kind of like came together and yeah, ended up being, yeah, one of my favorites on the album.
I'm an advert for tomorrow. I'm the clothes left on the floor. I pretend I'm going with the flow, but it's something worse, I'm sure. Now it's in my rearview mirror. Hell, I think it's gaining on me. So I think it might be time I'm moving on. Moving on. Think it might be time that I move. Thank you.
the process of writing songs. I usually, like, I think it's a little different between me and you. Mm-hmm. But I think I really like writing, so I think I often start with the lyrics, and then often depending on, like, what's the theme of the song, we probably choose, I don't know, maybe, I mean, this is really basic, but maybe, like, it's a song with major chords, so it's a minor, a more minor sounding song, or like it's quite happy, so we're gonna, like, it's gonna have a faster tempo. And then, but I think Liam starts more with the chords.
Yeah, I think because I'm a guitarist, I like to just, like, play around with different chords or a different kind of, like, groove or something like that. And I'm not really, like, a big writer. So I don't, like, I'm not, in my spare time, I don't sit down and, like, write stuff, which, like, Cece will often do. Or, you know, stuff comes to her during the day and she's like, I must write this thing out. I don't have that so much. So, yeah, I usually start, like, from the chords with, like, a melody, and I'll just sing, like, sounds, vocal sounds with no words or some nonsense words that come to my head, and then worry about the lyrics later. In that time, it's just, like, I want to just, like, yeah, see the ideas I can come up with and not be like, wait, that doesn't make sense, or that's a stupid lyric or something like that. I like just to, like, free flow with it a bit.
Yeah, and then when we do come together, sometimes, like, we often, as Liam said before, we often jam together. So, like, if he had an idea of, like, a chord progression or whatever, and then I play something with the sax, and that's how we often come up with riffs. So which are actually a repeating element, I think, mm-hmm. in our music. We often have, like, these catchy sax riffs, and yeah, a lot of the time they come from jamming, jam sessions that we have together. So, and then, yeah, once we have, like, the basic structure, we have the chords, we have a basic melody and maybe a riff that repeats, and possibly the chorus is one of the things that comes early on. We kind of try to think about the bass, so, like, the groove, the bass and drums. Although that's been a little bit more challenging for us
because we don't usually have a
band with us that we can, like, workshop the songs with. And sometimes it's hard to, like, kind of, like, imagine how something is gonna sound, like, before you actually can hear it with
but
your
we
ears.
Usually have, like, an idea in our head that's, like, quite clear, and then when we play with the drum and the bass, then it's like, finally we can hear this song that's been living in our head for months or, like, years sometimes with our first songs.
I think, like, of all the things that we've done in music, I think that's one of the highlights, when, like, we finally come together with a drum player and a bass player, and we, like, present them the songs that have been living in our heads for years sometimes, and then they play it and it's like, yes, this is how it's supposed to sound. And, like, even though we do like perform as a duo a lot, and we still like the songs like that, but we always imagine having that, like, support from the bass and drums and, like, all the instrument behind us and the band behind us. And that was just, like, super great moment.
Yeah, for sure.
When we finally got to hear them.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, once we have those, like, initial ideas down and we have to write, you know, finalize the lyrics a bit more or write some extra verses, then we usually do, like, some kind of, like, free writing, where we just, like, write as much about the idea as we can. Or we use this technique called object writing, where you, like, focus in on an object or an idea and then just write, like, sense-based things. So, like, smell, using, like, smell and taste and sight and hearing and stuff and touch. So that, yeah, and then you just, like, free flow. You don't worry about what you're writing. You don't really pause to think. And then you write, I don't know, for 10, 15 minutes or something. And then you can go back and kind of find the ideas that you like and that are hopefully a little bit more abstract than, because often when the first thing I write is like, this is my idea and I'm going to say it exactly as the meaning is, which is not very interesting lyrics. So then, yeah, we kind of take those ideas and then build up from there. But yeah, I often find that the first
draft.
Yeah, the first draft, like when we think, oh, the song is finished, that part doesn't take too long. But then there's a lot more work after that to actually get it finished. And yeah, that's the kind of the harder work and maybe like the less fun work.
Yeah, because obviously it all starts with a bit of inspiration, and inspiration is effortless. A lot of the time, it's just like, whoop, this idea comes into your mind. It's like, here it is. And like, I didn't really have to work too much to get that idea in my brain. But now, developing that idea and making it, like, you know, to make sense within a context and you know, all the arrangements in the music and yeah, so that also that the lyrics don't sound lame.
Yeah.
That all of that is a lot of hard work and a lot of, like, okay, you know, there's like two very distinct processes, I think, like the creative part, which is really fun and almost, as I said, like effortless, and then the editing part and the, you know, and going through everything and like tweaking so it all makes sense.
De chicos, entre la de juicio por estar lejos de mi feminidad. And I'm no stranger to a man's boots, but I find it strange I even have to choose. Cause this dichotomy has gotten me confused.
No Stranger is the third single that we released, and I started writing this song because during my childhood I was always like a tomboy, like, yeah, I always liked better, I don't know, Legos and Barbies, and I didn't really like girl clothes. My mom would struggle and fight with me to, like, you know, like put me on a dress and I would hate it and all these things, and I didn't understand why did I have to wear a dress if I prefer shorts, and why did I have to play with Barbies? Not that my parents forced me to do that, but, like, you know, it was like seen as a something like a bit strange that I didn't like dolls and stuff. And I always had like more like male friends than female friends. I don't know why, but like, yeah, for me, I remember having this feeling of like being very confused of why did I have to behave or be in a certain way. And I didn't, it didn't make sense that some things were for boys and some things were for girls. And so, like, yeah, that song is a little bit about that feeling and how, like, in some ways I gave in and tried to behave as a more, like, typical, like, feminine girl. It's a bit of a loss, if you ask me, because, like, maybe that's not who I am. And maybe, like, if I didn't have the pressure to behave in certain ways, then other parts of me would have come out in, you know, and, like, I think that's where the beauty of each of us resides. And I think we should embrace those differences, or, like, not just with gender or gender norms or whatever, but with everything. Like, if like, yeah, like that's like, I think that's very beautiful, like every difference in humans. I think that's what needs to be celebrated, and so yeah, I just wanted to write a song to kind of, yeah, celebrate human differences and to encourage other people to be whoever they want to be.
So I guess, like, also because, yeah, CC is more lyric driven and I may be more music driven, that although sometimes, you know, I have something that I really want to say, I think a lot of the expression that I do is through the music part and less through speaking, and the lyrics kind of like a support, I think, to the music that's underneath or the melodies that I'm using. And yeah, I just think it's really cool that even without saying anything, you can transmit a feeling, and the feeling is kind of the thing that I'm interested in transmitting. And whether that's, like, you know, a happy, uplifting feeling when we have, like, some really, like, catchy sax and, like, a nice groove underneath, or it's something, you know, more emotional and more serious. A lot of that, like, I mean, going back to the song Moving On, in the chorus, even if you're Spanish, I think a lot of the Spanish people connect with their song, even though they have no idea what I'm saying, just because, like, the melodies and the harmonies are kind of what deliver the message of the song. So it's the lyrics for me are, like, less important to that. So yeah, I think, I mean, that's kind of why I do it, and why I like to play our original music, is kind of like we can all share in this feeling musically, despite, you know, whether we speak English or Spanish or French or whatever language.
yeah, definitely. Music is a tool, like art in general, I think, is a tool to, you know, through concepts that maybe, like, in a conversation would spark maybe a discussion or like an argument. It's just like a way of, like, showing these things without maybe the controversy of, it's just like a way of expressing yourself and in a less, I don't know, yeah, controversial way. Or, like, at least, like, yeah, it's for me, it's a tool. It's a tool to express what is inside me. Yeah, to feel free, to say and express whatever I feel.
Crear simbiosis para disolver la tierra en mis zapatos preferidos. Funambulista que está por caer. Cuánta gente mirará esta vez. And I'm no stranger to a man's boots, but I find me strange. I even have to choose, 'cause this dichotomy has gotten me all confused. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Qué dilema tener que elegir. Tira esos vaqueros, no son para ti. Vaya corte de pelo, pareces un tío.
You know, I mean, I think one of the greatest things in my life is that, you know, I have CC, like, we're partners in life, but also partners in music, which is now, you know, like, our work. So there's, you know, there's many, many bonuses about that. And I think a lot of the goodness of our music and the way that we perform is because, like, we're so close and we just work together so much. But obviously there's also difficulties that come with that. And it's difficult to separate those two things because, you know, if you have a normal job and you have a bad day at work, you can come home and kind of leave that and it's clean with, like, your partner. But if we're, I don't know, if music's not going well, or, like, we have, like, a, I don't know, something funny happens during a practice or during a performance, it's difficult to separate that and be like, that was, you know, work, and we can sort that problem out when we're working, but we're coming home now, and, like, to try and leave that and to leave those feelings is very difficult. Or impossible, maybe. So I think, like, also it's helped us a lot to, like, in our communication as a couple and also as, like, as band members, because if you don't communicate what you're feeling, like, basically immediately, there's going to be, you know, a lot of problems. So I think we've got really good at just saying how we feel, kind of separating our emotions from it immediately and being like, you know, that thing that you just said was weird, or that thing that happened made me feel like this, and not, you know, kind of holding on to it and being like, because if you hold on to it, you just can't, because you'll be holding on to it for the rest of the day, and there's nowhere for it to go. So yeah, you know, it has difficult moments, but I think it helps us overall in communication for sure.
Yeah,
something to add.
Yeah, no, that's basically that sums it up pretty well. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it has its challenges, but I think it has also helped us a lot with how we communicate and yeah, to improve that also in our own relationship. Like, I think we talk very well and we solve problems really well.
Mm. Yeah, and also like
quicker and quicker.
Quicker and quicker, because you have to kind of do it. If you can do it very efficiently without it dragging on a long time, well, it's just better for everybody. So I think that's definitely a skill that we've learned.
Yeah.
The yellow moon is rising, my heart and feet are bare, hear your laughter gliding across that eternal summer air. Yeah, hear melted chocolate and your eyes of galaxies. Now I'm floating through space, but you don't notice me. And I'd do anything, anything at all. I'd do anything just to see you fall. And I'd do anything, anything at all. I'd do anything just to see you fall.
We have plans of keep growing the business. Like, lately we've been actually having a lot of, like, business meetings between us. So, like, to, like, kind of build a plan to see how we can look at the band as a business and treat it as such, and how can we improve, like, what are the areas that we can make a living with this, because, like, at the end of the day, like, it comes down a little bit to that, like, can we pay a rent with this or not? So yeah, nowadays there's a lot of like social media, unfortunately for me, because I don't personally like it that much, or like not like it, but like I don't do it for me. Like, I'm not, you know, one of those people that like post in Instagram or whatever. And so, like, it's quite hard for me to like create content and keep doing this, but it's a really important thing especially for musicians and visual artists, I imagine, and or photographers. Like, if you have a following, if you have like those numbers, then you have, like, people see you more, you have more opportunities to work, and that's just how it is. So, like, we're trying to build at least like a routine to post consistently, and do a little bit of, like, find a little bit like our brand and do a little bit of marketing, like, who are we and who is our audience, and like kind of trying to understand that world a little bit more. Which is a whole thing on itself.
I think a lot of artists feel the same, that like what we want to do is create, and business feels like very the opposite of that. So people put much less time into the business side, which is, you know, just as important, arguably more important, unfortunately. So we're kind of, we're still trying to, I think it's difficult to conceptualize yourself or your project as a business and not like as a creative project. But I think you kind of need to do that, and you need to be selling yourself, and you need to be valuing your time and your work. You know, I think artists hate dealing with money. They hate talking about money. So they're often, you know, pushed back on how much they're charging, and, you know, people are like, but you love to do this. So like, can't you just do it for less? Or, you know, that classic, there's going to be lots of exposure, which is a cliche, but also it happens all the time. Like, that's almost the rule, not the exception. So yeah, and those things can kind of like weigh on you a bit, and you can get frustrated because, you know, people don't value music or art as much as they should. But yeah, if you can think of it a bit more as a business and distance yourself from that a little bit, less like that this project is me and like this project is something that I'm doing, then it's easier to feel like, you know, it's worth something, and we need to be, yeah, treating it more like a business. So yeah, we're still working on that for sure. We're still developing that side of the Street Foxes. The music stuff we're pleased with, and we can do that all day, but the other stuff is a bit more,
it's hard.
Costs us a bit more.
Yeah, and it's a whole set of skills, of new skills that we need to learn. Like, marketing is like, you know, people study this as a career or whatever. And like, so like, yeah, I feel like being a musician, you have to be an expert in many things, not just playing music and your own instrument, but also like, yeah, like you have to be a personal relationship expert. You have to be like, you know, doing all the marketing and all
the sales.
And when you go to a gig, you also have to be your own sound technician sometimes. And like all these things that, yeah, we can't possibly be experts at. Yeah. But like, we're trying, and we're slowly like learning more about it and trying to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And hope that, you know, we have a future with this. Like, a little bit is a bit of out of our hands, because you don't know when something like goes viral, for example. And that's what happens to a lot of artists that are like, oh, my video got a lot of attention, and that, you know, translate into like more gigs or more people buying your CDs or your merch or whatever. And yeah, and nobody really knows why that happens, why some videos work and why some other don't. And I guess consistency is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can make a living of this. I don't know.
It's always good to, you know, combine it with other stuff. It's a lot of pressure if you're trying to earn money just from, you know, performing, because it's difficult and it puts a lot of pressure on that, which can take some of the joy out of it. We're trying to play more things like weddings and private events, corporate events, government events and stuff like that, because there's money there. And realistically, there's not money to be made, you know, playing at bars. And if you want to play original music, you know, that's even harder. And the problem is, you know, consistency. Sometimes we'll have a good month and it's like, cool, if every month was like this, we could do it. But you've got no promise that, you know, next month you'll have any gigs. So it's good to have work that you can rely on to at least like pay your bills and stuff. And then, yeah, then you can try and, you know, work as much as you can. And also, you know, we're still fairly new to Valencia. We've only really been playing here for this year. So it also takes a long time, you know, when you're in a new place, to get to know everywhere. All of music, and maybe it seems in Valencia, business as well, is kind of done through word of mouth and contacts and stuff. So we're just trying to, you know, play in as many places as we can and build up those contacts, because since we've formed the Street Foxes, we haven't stayed in one place for very long ever. Yeah. So we're always moving. So we start building up those contacts and then we move somewhere else. So we're hoping to stay in Valencia a little bit longer to kind of build up that base.
Get at least locally known.
Yeah.
Locally famous. No. Yeah, so far we've been trying to do everything like as a independent musicians, and some people say that like it's a little bit like nowadays there's a lot more chances that that you can, you know, make a living and make it work being an independent musician, because because of the internet and social media and all that stuff, it can happen. It's a lot of work, but it's possible. Whereas before the internet, you had to go with a label. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like also like it's nice to be free of, I mean, if we could sign up with the label, that's even a question. But it's also nice to be free of other people's constraints and stuff of how the music has to be, especially because lots of people want pop music and all of these kind of more, I don't know.
Sellable
music that like has to be, you know, this length, or the song, the style has to be like this. The vocals especially have to sound kind of like in a very produced, really artificial way, which we don't like. We really like the natural sound of the instruments, which you can hear on the album. We really try to record it like it sounds live. There's not really like any fancy trickery going on anywhere. Like the vocals are really clean. The guitar and stuff is just like coming through the amp and through into the microphone and stuff. And yeah, also the drums, just like a natural drum kit and not like these electronic sounds, which is fine. Like they have their place and stuff. But yeah, the music that we like to create and wanted to create on that is kind of like, yeah, it's our thing. And we like having that freedom to do that. We have now thought for the next album to work
with a producer.
Yeah, to work more like with a producer. Just because we want to make some bigger music, I think, that has some more stuff going on, and kind of like a new challenge for us to like go for a different sound. So yeah, we have been thinking about that for the next album.
We hope you enjoyed this episode with Ceci and Liam. Before they go, there is one more thing that we wanted to know. Back in the 50s, New York City, the Baroness Panonica from Königswörter hosts jazz musicians in a manor. She asks them a ritual question. If you could make three wishes that would come true right now, what would they be? She compiled all the answers in a book. That book inspired this podcast. It highlights how you can draw a portrait of an entire society just with a simple but powerful question. So we ask Ceci and Liam the same thing. Here are their wishes.
But a personal wish for my life would be that I could keep doing music. And live off it. That would be like my greatest wish, I think. If I could live, not be rich, just comfortable, and be able to keep playing music and keep creating music and keep making music with cool and interesting people. Yeah, that would definitely be one of them. Now you have to go, Ceci.
I'm thinking. This is a really hard question. Yeah, well, the first thing that came to my head was... it kind of like summarized the two big passions of my life, which is travel and music. So I thought like, wow, it would be great to be touring the world with a great band behind us and just like get to travel and play our music with great musicians and be doing that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be a great wish. But it's quite similar to yours, so I don't know.
Maybe they're selfish wishes so far.
Yeah, selfish wishes. And then one for the world.
One for the world. I wish for world peace. No, maybe like a wish for the world, like... Maybe this sounds cliche, but I wish that like everyone was a little more understanding or would take even 5 seconds just to be like, people are different. They have a different story. They have a different background. And yeah, like give people the benefit of the doubt instead of like assuming how they're feeling or what they're doing or their intentions behind stuff. Because it just feels that like so much anguish, like, people's anguish comes from this thought. And if it's just like, you know, you don't know exactly, yeah, what they've been through and stuff. So just assume, if you're going to assume something, assume that they're good and assume that they've had a difficult time. And yeah, I think that would be better.
A huge thank you to Ceci and Liam for sharing their story and their music with us. All the songs heard in this episode were theirs. You can find all the links to listen and to support their music in the description of the episode. If you enjoyed listening to this episode of Here and There, please consider giving us 5 stars on your favorite platform and spread the good vibes. Interview, editing, production and voiceover by Marie Lopoyer. Follow MLU Stories on Instagram to keep up to date.